This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Each of Illinois' 11 regions are at more than 70% capacity of available ICU beds. And with America's COVID hotspots shifting to rural areas where resources were already scarce, many smaller hospitals worry they'll be overwhelmed by another surge in patients. To discuss this, we're joined by Pat Scow, president of the National Rural Health Association and executive director of Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network, based in Princeton, Illinois, in the north central part of the state. Pat, welcome to the 21st.
Yes, good morning, Ryan, and thank you for inviting me to join you today.
Thank you for being here. I'd also like to welcome Ada Bear. She's a registered nurse and CEO of Memorial Hospital in Carthage, Illinois. And Reagan Brown is also with us. She's also at Memorial Hospital and works as chief nursing officer there. Ada and Reagan, thank you both so much for being with us as well.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listeners, you can still participate in our conversation today if you're located, particularly, especially if you're located in a rural part of the state and want to share your experience, or if you're a healthcare worker in a rural area, give us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. You can also give us a call if you have a question for our guests at 800-222-9455. So, Pat, I want to ask you, the Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network, I don't know if you call that ICAN, your director there. Okay. So, Kate, what is a critical access hospital?
A critical access hospital is a 25-bed or less acute care hospital licensed by the state of Illinois. It has a Medicare certification designation, in other words, that it agrees to maintain 25 beds or less, have an average daily census of average daily census of 25 or less, and average length of stay of 4 days or less. It's a way that we can keep small rural hospitals, and they receive a different type of cost-based reimbursement. The program began about 20 years ago, and we have 51 in Illinois and about 1,338 nationally in 45 states. So it's a reimbursement program for small rural hospitals that allows them to stay open and provide necessary services. It's acute care hospital. They provide emergency room, outpatient, inpatient, whatever you need. It's just they may not have as many specialty services available. And, you know, it's wonderful. And Ada Bear, who's the CEO of Memorial Hospital, is the critical access hospital for Illinois.
Okay, well, that is an excellent transition, Ada Bear. How full is your hospital right now? How are things looking there?
Well, right at the moment, we are not exceeding capacity, which we have been typically, although we are just starting to see what I am referring to as the Thanksgiving uptick, where we're starting to see a lot more individuals come into our illness clinic, and we're starting to have another influx of admissions as of this morning. And, you know, Reagan can certainly elaborate on that if desired.
No, absolutely. And I think we need to take a break here in about 30 seconds. But just briefly, when you say what you have been since recently, do you mean you have been at capacity or you have not been at capacity recently?
We have exceeded capacity recently. There have been times when every bed was full and we had people in the emergency department holding, waiting for a bed.
Wow. Okay. Well, Reagan Brown, I'm going to ask you about that, but we do need to take a break right now. So listeners, I just want to remind you, if you want to call in, you can do so at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We're speaking with Ada Bear, who is the CEO of Memorial Hospital in Carthage, Illinois, a smaller critical access hospital. Also Reagan Brown, who's chief nursing officer there, and Pat Scow, who is the president of the National Rural Health Association and also executive director of the Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network. We're going to continue this conversation for the rest of the program today. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about critical access hospitals, hospitals in rural areas of the state. Each of Illinois' 11 regions, for the sake of COVID-19, are at more than 70% capacity of available ICU beds. And as we know, the COVID pandemic has been shifting to rural areas where resources were already scarce. We're speaking with Pat Scow, who is president of the National Rural Health Association and director of the Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network. Also, Ada Bear, CEO of Memorial Hospital in Carthage, Illinois, and Reagan Brown, who is chief nursing hospital also at chief nursing officer also at Memorial Hospital. Listeners, if you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Reagan Brown, do you remember the first COVID patient you treated at Memorial in Carthage?
I believe I do. I think it was back in April, actually. We had kind of one at a time for a long time. What you saw in Chicago happening, or, you know, more of the urban areas, wasn't happening here at that time. So it seemed like, you know, we got started off pretty slow, but I'm pretty sure that our first one was back in April.
And what is a typical day like for you now? That are you seeing, obviously, as we heard before the break, you have been operating at or above capacity in some days. How what is the breakdown there in terms of COVID patients versus non-COVID patients?
Yeah, so about the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been at or exceeding capacity. As Ada mentioned, we had a little bit of a break beginning this week and are starting to see an uptick again. But what that looks like is somewhere between 50 and 75% COVID patients is what it has been. And, you know, not only are we exceeding or our capacity or at capacity, it also is the situation in our immediate region. And so what that causes is for us to be unable to transfer patients anywhere close. And so it increases our acuity that, you know, we're keeping here, which obviously has a huge effect on staffing.
So I'm going to restate that in, I think, layperson's terms. When you say acuity, you mean instead of being able to take the more severe cases and transfer them to a more metropolitan, a bigger hospital, you have to keep them there and deal with more difficult cases and presumably higher risk to the staff there. Is that, am I saying that right?
Yep, that's absolutely correct. So in, you know, our little hospital, we have 18 beds. And we do not have an ICU. So we have been taking measures to make sure that we have been doing education on some more, you know, more acutely ill type patients. So the, you know, the sicker of the patients, to make sure that we're able to handle these. And like I said, you know, our numbers came a little later than what the urban areas did. So we had some time to prepare, which we're thankful for. But, you know, we've seen it. The month of November has definitely put our education and policies and procedures to the test.
Ada Bear, you're the CEO at Memorial Hospital there. What services can you provide to COVID patients before they have to be transferred to another hospital in a larger metropolitan area?
One of the things that I would say that we were very blessed with, and that is we have a very proactive and I think quite brilliant physician on our staff who is preparing herself end of last year. She does most of our hospitalist work, works in our emergency department, and she has been studying, working with the team, part of our COVID team, for these many, many months in terms of getting us ready. And therefore, her skill and talent has enabled us to keep patients that are more ill and to help train and prepare our clinical team, whether it's our cardiopulmonary department or our nursing frontline. And she has provided really that solid, excellent leadership and literally moved into her office and lives on this campus 24/7 because we don't have anybody else. And so she is helping us to take care of, again, patients that are far more ill than we would normally care for.
Pat Scow, I want to ask you, what you're hearing from rural hospital administrators and healthcare workers about their concerns as we're getting into the colder months. Capacity is obviously a concern. I wonder if staffing levels are also a concern. One of the guests in our previous segments today talked about just a general nursing shortage even before the pandemic and said, you know, capacity is one thing, but if you have a bed without a qualified nurse to take care of the patient there, then it's a hotel room, not a hospital. I wonder, what are you hearing from people out there?
Well, what you're hearing from Ada and others, even on the last call, is definitely true, not only in Illinois and across the nation. You know, we're hearing it all over, is that our small rural hospitals, we have limited, you know, beds, but it's also limited staff. You know, there's just no more staff available. And if there are agency or additional staff, often they're attracted to the larger facility, which may be able to pay a little bit more. And so that becomes a struggle. And it makes no sense to transfer somebody to a place if you don't have staff. And that's been some of the transfer issue, is that, you know, maybe a tertiary care might have several empty beds and could take Ada's patient or another one of our hospital's patients, rural hospital's patients, but they also don't have the staff. So that's really becoming a very critical issue. It's because there's staff fatigue, the staff, not only nursing staff, but, you know, lab and x-ray and transport, you know, we're all affected by that. And what's happened is that either they've been sick with COVID, their family members are sick with COVID, you know, or, you know, we have capacity in some of the hospitals and you need additional staff. So that's become probably the biggest dilemma that we've faced. And I don't think we anticipated this, you know, even having nurse aides to assist with nursing care and in the hospital setting, there are some advantages, is like OT and physical therapy and rehab, some of those areas, they've had some of that experience and they can maybe come up and help with basing or vital signs. And so we've had to be very creative to fill those gaps and also to help out the emergency department when you have patients that can't be transferred to provide care for it. So we've had to create a lot of flexibility with that.
Reagan, I want to ask you, as the chief nursing officer at Memorial Hospital in Carthage, how are you holding up? How are you and your colleagues feeling right now?
Everybody's tired, you know, but honestly, the teamwork has just been outstanding. We all kind of know that we just have to do it and we have to get through it. And so while people are tired, we're trying to give as many breaks as we can. We've implemented some things here hospital-wide that, you know, just provides a smile and a thank you. You know, obviously the incentives and things that we can provide maybe aren't as large as what some of the other larger hospitals have, but anything that just says thank you, the team has been very open to. And so, as I said, you know, the beginning of this week or so, we've had a little bit of a break. It's been nice to allow some people, you know, a breather. And I think that we just know we have to get through it.
Do you see people in your community doing what public health authorities are advising, wearing masks, not going into businesses, you know, that are not following the health guidelines from the state? Or do you see people, you know, we've seen a lot of skepticism out there about the severity of this virus. What do you feel like the community is in the right place?
So I think we had a mixed bag, I would say, of people in the beginning. There were some people, you know, that followed, and obviously another large group that did not. And honestly, I think that you probably over the last month or 5 weeks, since we've really seen the uptick and people can visually see what's happening around us, you know, that's probably slowed down a little bit, the people not wearing masks and things. But of course, there are still some.
Yeah. You know, Pat, I wanted to ask you about that because, or maybe this question is better for Ada Bear. I'm not sure. You can both weigh in. I read an article recently where somebody said that, you know, health privacy laws, they're great, but they are one thing that's keeping people who maybe have not had this affect their lives. They don't know somebody who's gotten COVID, or fewer people know somebody who's died from it, because we haven't seen the images of the suffering and how really terrible the end stages of this disease can be, that has maybe affected how seriously people are taking it. Privacy laws are what they are. I understand they're not going to change. But Ada Bear, I wonder, what is your perspective on that? Has this pandemic been hidden from people? Is that a factor?
Yeah, I do think to a degree it's been a factor. And I think some of that has had to do with the spectrum of severity. You know, there are some people that they're COVID positive and they've had a sore throat. You know, they haven't had a fever. They haven't had the debilitating headaches. They, you know, so they haven't been very ill. So I think for some of those, the perspective is, well, it's not such a big deal because, you know, I don't feel any worse with COVID than I would with the flu or anything else. And until, as Regan said, it touches them through family or friends where they get that exposure to how debilitating it can be, or in our case, the colleague that we ended up caring for that was really in a life or death situation for a while. You know, I think that's why we're still seeing the spectrum.
In just the few minutes we have remaining, I want to take a step back and look at the broader picture of rural hospitals. Pat Scow, reintroduce you. You're the president of the National Rural Health Association, executive director of Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network. Rural hospitals were already in a difficult situation. According to the Associated Press, more than 130 have closed in the U.S. in the last decade, 15 this year. Where were Illinois hospitals before the pandemic, and will the pandemic leave them stronger or weaker?
Well, as we've been fortunate in Illinois, we've not had a hospital closure for several years. The last one was in Streeter in 2016. But nationally, we are seeing closures, particularly in the South and the Texas areas. And some of those were because of either management or reimbursement issues, and they lost physicians or whatever, a variety of reasons. And it's just because resources and volume and support have just dwindled over the number of years. And we're fortunate, like places like Ada and others have been able to stay strong and connect with their community. But we think that nationally, you know, the Rural Health Association, the Hospital Association, all of us that work with rural hospitals nationally believe this will really be a test of our strength this next year in 2021, because we won't have the COVID funding. We'll have limited resources. Staff will have gone through it. We will have patients that have had a lot of experiences. And we would have lost some of the business that, you know, we normally have, that prevention. And so we're really concerned. We see that there's going to be, you know, difficult times. I hope that the new administration will work at funding and programs to help support our rural hospitals, because we know that infrastructure is important. You know, the tertiary care centers, the large resource centers, can't take care of everybody. And we have challenges with distance and transportation issues that we know our rural communities need to have their health care and access to it. You look at nationally, you know, some places it's 65, 90 miles from a hospital. In Illinois, it's generally about 20 to 25. And so we have to preserve that infrastructure. So it'll be a very much of a balance this next year. And we will be watching it. I'm saying nationally, organizations be watching it. And I hope maybe you'll revisit that issue in a few months and look at the resources and what can we do to help preserve that and keep our communities strong.
Okay, we're going to have to leave our conversation there. It has been interesting. I want to thank my guests. They've been Pat Scow, who is president of the National Rural Health Association and executive director of Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network. Ada Bear is the CEO of Memorial Hospital in Carthage, also a nurse, a registered nurse, and Regan Brown is the chief nursing officer at Memorial Hospital in Carthage, Illinois. I want to thank you all so much for being here, Pat, Ada, and Regan. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation, and happy holidays to everybody. Stay well and stay healthy.
You too. Stay safe. That is all the time we have for today. Later this week, we're going to be doing a segment on Hanukkah. It begins at sundown on Thursday. If you or someone you know is celebrating or marking Hanukkah during the pandemic, how are your traditions changing? We'd love to hear about it. You can leave us a voicemail at 217-300-3300. 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Skullark, and Chantal Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.